Sometimes you have to let go. It's just the way it is. Sometimes you have to let go. After Dan Frew's funeral yesterday, I was talking with Pastor Sarah Schmidt-Lee at First Congregational. Sarah had done a beautiful job with Dan's funeral. And so did our choir. Beautiful singing with their choir. Sarah and I were talking about preaching today and talking about this story about the death of John the Baptist. She made a point that I remembered but had forgotten, I knew but had forgotten until she reminded me, which is that this is one of the longest stories in the Gospel of Mark. This story goes on for over 300 words. It's very long. And when you stop and think about it, Mark's gospel does not have an infancy narrative. It doesn't tell us about how Jesus was born. And many of the existing manuscripts, ancient manuscripts of Mark's gospel that we have, do not have a resurrection story. We believe that that resurrection story was added later. So if Mark does not take pains to tell us how Jesus was born or how he rises, why does Mark take such pains to tell us how John the Baptist died? What's that about? I believe that there are a couple of reasons for this. Literarily, the story prepares us for Jesus' eventual death. The story reminds us that this religion thing is dangerous business. So that's a piece of what the story tells us. The other thing that the story tells us is that the work of God is done here in our lives and in our world. I've talked with you many times before about how God is involved. God is involved in our world. God is involved in our lives. God is here, not high up and far away. We've discussed this many, many times. But we often sanitize that image and only think about blessings received. And we don't always think about the challenges of letting go as part of our religious work, part of the work of God. Last week, I talked with you about dispassion, or as our Buddhist friends call it, non-attachment. And somebody who attended 8 o'clock told me that I was walking a fine line talking about detachment and the beheading of John the Baptist. But the reality is that the stories that we heard today are stories about people who can't let go, who don't know how to practice some dispassion. Remember that we said last week, dispassion is not a call to not be passionate about things. Dispassion, as our monastic ancestors conceived it, is not the idea that you shouldn't love people or love ideas or enjoy the things that you have. Dispassion is about not clinging so tightly to those things that you start to define yourself by them, and therefore define yourself too small. And in clinging to those things, anybody who challenges them, you define in the tiny description of enemy. And so attachment, or the inability to practice dispassion, is about not the passion, but the clinging the holding on to, the inability to let go. In ancient Israel, there were three institutions, three classic institutions, and these institutions sometimes got along well, sometimes they were in conflict with each other, and sometimes they were a great big national emotional triangle. And those three institutions were prophets, priests, and kings. Prophets, priests, and kings. And we read the Hebrew Bible and we don't recognize that these three groups sometimes didn't get along. Sometimes they fought with each other. And in the Amos story that we heard today, we have the priest mad at Amos and running to the king and then going back to Amos and saying, go away. It's a great big national icky emotional triangle. And what happens is that Amos is from Judah, the southern kingdom. Remember that God's people divided into two kingdoms after the death of Solomon. They could not negotiate who would be the next king. And so they ended up dividing into a southern kingdom called Judah and a northern kingdom called Israel. And the northern kingdom did not want to, for various political reasons, travel to Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, to worship God. And so they built their own temple in Bethel so that they wouldn't have to go to Judah to worship. They couldn't let go of the division between the two lands, even though they were one people. And in the northern kingdom was in an era of prosperity, a great deal of prosperity. And Amos, who was born in the southern kingdom, is told by God, look, I want you to go up north, and I want you to preach, and I want you to tell the people in the northern kingdom that I see that they are experiencing a time of prosperity because they're oppressing the poor. And go up and tell them that there's a cost to that. So Amos goes up and he preaches. And God uses the image of the plumb line. And the idea is clear. You're being measured. You're found to be off kilter because of the ways that you oppress the poor. And this is a threat to the temple priesthood. Because wealthy temple goers mean more offering in the charity box, which benefits the temple. So they have a reason to be upset. They have a reason to be upset because this guy from Judah is up here in our face. We don't like it. They complain to the king. The high priest tells Amos, go away. You don't belong here. This is not your land. Go away. Don't want to hear from you. Go prophesy in Judah where you belong. And in the reading that we heard today, Amos says, well, I'm not really a prophet. I'm just a shepherd and I take care of trees. But God told me to come up here and tell you this, so I'm here telling you. It's an interesting book, Amos. On the one hand, it's very clear. Don't oppress the poor to get ahead. The book is completely and entirely unambiguous about that. That said, how does that happen? How do we do that? How do we oppress the poor? Do we oppress the poor? How do we sort that out? How do we understand that? How do we figure that out? How do we analyze the dynamics and figure it out? Is it by going into the temple and telling everyone they're going to die? Probably not the best move. Amos was a little attached to being the rebel, just as Amaziah was a little attached to the way things are. And so that's one of those challenges, right? It's one of the spiritual challenges. I'm not saying which side was right, because I don't know. I do know that God's pretty clear, don't oppress the poor. How we do that as a nation, that's a challenge for us all to figure out. All of us together. And currently our nation is divided because some people say one thing and some people say another, and some people think about how we're going to afford this economically, which is a valid question, and some people say, yeah, but where's our compassion, which is also a valid question. The challenge is, how do we as a nation enter into that conversation with some dispassion? That's what the reading brings up for us. I look at Amos and I think, dude, you invited that response by the way you gave your message. I look at Amaziah and say, dude, he's saying something you should think about. Both of them are true. Both of them. And the only way to sort through it is with a little dispassion. Sometimes you have to let go. Sometimes you have to let go of your commitment to being a rebel. Sometimes you have to let go of your commitment to the way things are. Sometimes you have to let go. And that is the work of spirituality. That is the work of spirituality. In the story of John the Baptist, there's lots of not being able to let go that happens. A lot of dispassion is not present in that story. So, Herod the Tetrarch, he's not really the king, he's a tetrarch, which means the land was divided into four by Rome and divided amongst brothers. And so Herod had one of the four sections that was his to be in control of. And his brother Philip was married to Herodias, and he stole her from his brother. So Herod Antipas, brother of Philip, stole Herodias from Philip. You almost have to have a family chart just to keep track of them all, right? And it's classic family drama. This family is attached to their dysfunctional drama. They are committed to it. They are clinging to it. And John the Baptist says, you know, there's this law in Leviticus, you know, Leviticus, this law, it says you're not supposed to marry your brother's wife. And Herodias cannot let that go. She is so completely offended by that that she is seeking John's death. She can't let it go. Herod is committed to being a big shot. So it's his birthday and he has a big party and he invites all the important people to his birthday party because he's a big shot and he wants all the important people to be at his party. And in another piece of dysfunctional family drama, has his stepdaughter come and dance a racy dance. Really, dude, seriously, not a good idea for so many reasons. But he does this. And then he is all excited about it, and he wants to show off and be the big shot, so he says a rash promise. I'll give you whatever you want. That was such a wonderful dance. She doesn't know. She goes and asks her mother, who is attached to the idea of getting John the Baptist killed. And so she says, get John's head. Ask for John's head. So she goes and she says, give me John the Baptist's head on a platter. And Herod is attached to being a big shot. And he won't look like such a big shot if he has to say no and renege on the promise he made, rash though it was. And has John killed. They all can't let go of something. And it leads to all kinds of tragedies and evils and dysfunction. Because they can't let go. The challenge in these readings, all jokes aside, is the challenge of our ability to sometimes be dispassionate, to sometimes be non-attached, to stop clinging to the things that we like or love or define ourselves by and let go. Because God is here and has a bigger understanding and a bigger definition and a bigger love for us than we could possibly imagine. The problem with the clinging, the problem dispassion seeks to address, is that the clinging makes us smaller than God would have us be. Herod could have been a great and godly ruler, but he needed to be a big shot. He clung to that idea, and he became a petty tyrant. That's the difference that attachment makes. That's why there's a call in our tradition to dispassion.